Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
An article in the Business Insider earlier this week spoke about Takealot creator Kim Reed stepping down, and it really goes into how he built South Africa's biggest or largest e-commerce site. Takealot CEO and creator Kim Reed is stepping back the e-commerce they announced on a Friday. He will become chairman of the 2,500 employee group that also includes Mr. D and Superbalist. They are now looking for a new CEO. What is interesting to me, and I wanted to find out just a little bit more, is what decides and how do we understand how the issue around competition works in South Africa? Is this a monopoly? How do we determine if something is or isn't? Joining us on the line is James Hodge, Chief Economist at the Competition Commission. James, a very good morning. Thanks for speaking to us. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
So when a layperson reads this and we see that an organization, a company like Takealot is expanding, obviously we want these companies to succeed, and we love it when South African companies do. But how do we balance this issue of monopoly versus free trade?
Look, that's a good question. I think the Competition Commission and its mandate is there to ensure that markets remain competitive, because competitive markets are going to give the best outcome. And what we've seen in digital markets globally and locally is that quite quickly they can tip towards one or two suppliers only. And that's not necessarily good for competition. So for instance, a single platform where many business users are trying to sell their products through that platform, those business users can be exploited because they're dependent now on that platform. But also consumers can face distorted choices. So how products are ranked, presented to them, can actually make consumers choose suboptimal outcomes.
So it really is very important for both the supplier and the consumer to have choice in order to transact. That's essentially what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you even look at things like search, so there may be and social media and the debates currently, the consumers may lack choice as to, for instance, their privacy settings. So the fact that WhatsApp now says that they will share data with Facebook, that's not a choice you have.
Right.
And so people may look at alternatives, but the reality is that the alternatives don't have all your contacts and all your groups set up. So consumers face that. So that's a real example of how choice can be affected by these platforms. But yes, it's consumers and then the business users on these platforms.
Right. It's obviously very difficult for the Competition Commission because it's a relatively, number one, it's a relatively new space. We're seeing people around the world, organizations, governments, battling this out, because this refers, as you correctly mentioned, it also goes back to even how we consume our news, how we consume anything like that, what gets ranked ahead of something else, the algorithms. All of this actually determines our ability to choose, and it gets balanced with the convenience of the site that we go to. So I like it when I go, for example, onto a website and it'll tell me, well, you know, make suggestions for me because it knows my history. But at the same time, that's a balance. How does the Competition Commission go about trying to achieve a balance, which is probably never possible, but at least striving to do it?
Well, we recognize that online markets can disrupt, you know, existing monopolies. So in areas like financial services, we've seen fintech startups, you know, have a reasonable effect on the market. So also the fact that, you know, an e-commerce marketplace may provide a platform for a small firm that wouldn't otherwise be able to set up an online marketplace itself and be visible to consumers. So there definitely are benefits to this. We don't deny that. It is, in fact, finding that balance. And that's why we've launched a marketing, or about to launch a market inquiry into some of these digital markets, just to get a better understanding of what is happening, because quite often there's a lack of transparency as to what these algorithms do, how things are ranked, and that transparency even applies to the consumers and business users on that site. So it's important to understand first what is happening, whether anything that is happening is distorting consumer outcomes or competition amongst the business users on those platforms, and then finding a proportionate remedy if there is something going wrong. So we have seen globally, you could almost separate the fight against the so-called gaffer firms, the Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple, and then just general platform regulation, which we're seeing in Europe, which is just requiring that firms are transparent about how they rank, whether they use the data of the business users on the site, how they use that, and whether they compete. So, you know, those rules are now starting to shape competition. Now we better understand these markets. So the same can apply here. We need to first go through that inquiry, see what is happening, and see if there's cause for concern.
Right. So in other words, you will look into some of these larger companies and just try and figure it out. But really, in order to understand it, before you're able to do so. One of our listeners, Jenny, saying, regarding monopolies, what about people like Eskom? Can the Competition Commission intervene then?
Well, look, we can. We have a mandate to cover any state-owned enterprise as well. But these companies are also subject to their own regulators. And so we need to look at how NERSC is dealing with Eskom and ourselves. So most of the competition work we're doing at the moment is looking at the reform process and providing advice to government how to make that reform more pro-competitive so that we have a more efficient market in the future.
How does South Africa compare in terms of our competition regulation to other countries?
The general structure of our Act is pretty standard, and you tend to see standardized elements. So our Act was drawn from really European case law and sort of some of the Canadian and US law as well. So the basic tenets are the same, and that's a merger control regime that seeks to prevent, you know, more concentrated markets that may undermine competition, anti-cartel enforcement, and then abuse of dominance. So finding dominant companies where they seek to exclude their rivals or harm consumers. On top of that, we have a public interest element because it's a need to ensure greater participation in the markets because that was denied historically. So there is a focus on SMEs and historically disadvantaged individuals and that promotion of that in merger control and now preventing abuse of those types of firms in your abuse of dominance provisions. So that's where we differ slightly, but in fact the rest of the world is really taking note of what we're doing here and starting to move in that direction with greater focus on equality issues in competition law.
Who funds the Competition Commission? Is it a taxpayer thing?
So the Commission gets a grant from government and we also earn income from merger filing fees because we have to investigate those mergers. That's the reason for the fees. So those are two sources of funding.
Right. Fascinating. And unfortunately, that's where we have to leave it. I don't have time to continue that. But it is important that we understand how these things function. James Hodge, Chief Economist at the Competition Commission. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. It is 8:56. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.